golly, I can't remember when I've had more fun.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, just to keep things balanced, as we just heard in the news from Jay Inslee on this election day about how evil his Republican opponents are, let's remember that Jay Inslee has lied repeatedly about not raising taxes, has increased taxes in the state budget by billions and billions and billions of dollars. State is now facing a huge budget hole that they're going to try to fix with more taxes on us. They want a state income tax if the Democrats get a stronger majority in the House and Senate. They want a state income tax. That Jay Inslee is the architect of the Employment Security Division that continues. And, you know, so many people let Susie Levine get away with the lie yesterday, playing the audio and the video clips of, we now have taken care of our entire backlog. And I started hearing from dozens and dozens of listeners who said, that's not true. I still haven't gotten paid my unemployment. And $650 million siphoned off to Nigerian scammers. No accountability for losing more than a half billion tax dollars to scammers. Jay Inslee let that happen. And so if we're going to play Jay Inslee talking about the evils of his opponents, I'll balance that out and remind people of the failure of Jay Inslee targeting his political opponents with this economic shutdown. Shameful. It's absolutely shameful. Okay, before I get into the big lead, Sean, yesterday I asked you if you could build a council culture open and close. Have you been able to cobble anything together for us?
I was. Yes, Dory. Yes, I hope you like it.
Awesome. Well, here's the thing. Council culture, it may have started here in King County. King County, which was named after a United States vice president, Rufus King, back in the 1850s, he was vice president. And then about 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, King County, maybe it's more than that even, King County changed the name of King County. They kept the King, but they said it's no longer named after the former vice president. It's now named after Martin Luther King Jr. And at a cost of millions of dollars, they changed the logo. They had to change a lot of other signage and things. Cost us millions of dollars. So cancel culture really started here, as far as I can remember. And now it is just every day we are seeing at least double-digit stories about things that are being canceled. And so, without any further ado, let's get into today's summary with a cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
Okay, number one, the word grandfathering means something that has happened that will be allowed to continue to happen because of tradition. It's just, you know, yeah, he got grandfathered in. Yeah, he lives outside the boundary to join this club, but we're going to grandfather him in because they changed the boundary. You know, that sort of thing. And so it's just a phrase that means that something that has been allowed will continue to be allowed. Well, we now find out a Massachusetts court says the term grandfathering will no longer be used in its decisions, saying that its origin was in post-Civil War laws that prevented black people from exercising their right to vote. Now, I doubt that anybody knew the origin of the phrase grandfather clause, grandfathering in. So nobody who uses it has ever had any racial connotation connected to it whatsoever. But it doesn't matter in 2020. Grandfathers, you have been
canceled.
Nice. Okay, number two. Down in Portland, for the 30th anniversary of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Kindergarten Cop, they were going to do an outdoor screening of the film. Kindergarten Cop was largely filmed in Astoria, Oregon. And so the Northwest Film Center in Portland, they do a drive-in movie series. And they said, hey, let's do Kindergarten Cop for its 30th anniversary. Well, no, can't do that. One woman down in Portland, an author named Lois Levine, she said that having a movie centered around a law enforcement officer is particularly insensitive. She said, national reckoning on over-policing is a weird time to revive Kindergarten Cop. We are trying to end the school-to-prison pipeline, she tweeted. There is nothing entertaining about the presence of police in schools, which feeds the school-to-prison pipeline. And unbelievably, based on that little bit of lunacy, the film center said, yeah, you're right. We will not show Kindergarten Cop. Can you imagine having a brain and a life that works that way? Can you imagine the personal torment somebody lives if they hear about Kindergarten Cop and extrapolate it? So anyway, the movie Kindergarten Cop, you've been
canceled.
All right, and that is your cancel culture update for today.
This has been a cancel culture update.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, that's me. I'm regular. Well, as long as I eat roughage. And I'm scheduled right now. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to this hour's big lead.
The big lead. Breaking news.
Yeah, we're just finding out about this. We told you yesterday about the Saturday incident at Carmen, Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best's home up in Snohomish County. A bunch of what they call themselves protesters. I say when you go to people's homes to try to influence their mind, you're a domestic terrorist because they are terrorizing the homes of Jenny Durkin, Seattle council members who aren't radical enough, Carmen Best, for reasons I don't understand, because she defends the officers under her command, I guess. And yesterday, we talked to neighbors of Carmen Best, and they're back on the line live. I'm going to get to them in just a minute. But we now have some audio of the encounter between the protesters and Carmen Best's neighbors, and includes a great line about 20 seconds in.
It's a private drive. Get out of the road.
You pointed to the gun.
I am not pointing
to the gun.
They're
here to peacefully assemble.
No. Peacefully assemble in somebody else's neighborhood.
We are peaceful. Go. You pointed to the gun at my
just
face.
Go. Yep.
That's why you're peaceful.
Go.
No.
Peaceful.
Okay, I love that. We are peaceful, and you're pointing a gun in our face. And one of the neighbors yells, "That's why you're peaceful."
Here's a little.
Stop. Enough.
We don't have guns. You're the ones with guns.
Thank you.
Protesters walking, and you draw your weapons. That's what happened here.
I have a license for it.
We don't have weapons.
This was public property. Our tax dollars paid for those roads. We have a right to walk there.
We're looking for our friends. We don't care about you guys.
Quit yelling at me.
Okay, so that was the encounter. Now, I have some breaking news update for this. Two of the women who say they were at that that protest on Saturday night, they have just posted this afternoon, this is the truth about what happened in Snohomish. We have Carmen Best's neighbors saying they have our addresses and are threatening our lives. I truly believe this is because Carmen Best gave the okay that her neighbors can use guns on us. And then the two protesters say, we are now needing funds to get an Airbnb for protection. If you're able to donate to our personal Venmos and Cash Apps, please do so. Also, if you have an extra house in the Seattle area that you're willing to donate for the next couple of months until we get safety, that would be appreciated. So they say their lives are being threatened by the neighbors. They say that Carmen Best told the neighbors, gave them the okay to have guns for this encounter. So let's continue following this breaking news story. Joining me live, the couple that were on the air with me yesterday, and that's Whit and Jamie Rulestone here on the Dory Monson Show. Whit, Jamie, good to talk to you again. I wasn't expecting us to visit two consecutive days like this.
Neither were we.
Okay, let's get into this. So, Jamie, the two of the young women who were at this event, they call themselves protesters. I believe those who go to homes to try to influence minds are domestic terrorists. They say that you and your neighbors now have their addresses and are threatening them, threatening their lives. What do you say to this?
I think it's absolutely crazy. I actually feel sad for them. They call themselves peaceful protesters. They think they have this cause, but it's all based on lies. Everything coming out of their mouth is complete lies, and it's incredibly sad, honestly.
Do you two or any of your neighbors, Jamie, have their names and addresses?
No.
To our knowledge, I mean, I don't think anyone here would even go to seek it out. I mean,
why?
Why?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any idea how. I mean, this was a unexpected event visited upon your neighborhood Saturday night, Whit. I have no clue how they allege that you would be able to identify them, get their names, their addresses, and be stalking them. So as far as you know, Whit, that absolutely is not happening?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay. The video that I posted on Twitter, I just played the audio of it. We now have a clear picture of what happened. You told me about much of this yesterday. A couple of neighbors parked their cars across the road to prevent the group from driving in further. One of the neighbors, and I don't know, is that you with the rifle at the front, Whit, or is that somebody else?
No, that's somebody else.
It's somebody else. Okay. Whoever that person is said this is a private drive. Is that accurate? Is this a public road or a private drive where the encounter took place?
It's a public road. I mean, we're on a county road here. I mean, so, you know, Freudian slip of the tongue. They're right. It is a public county road.
Okay. All right. And so, what they said, and I don't know if this was you, Jamie, when they said we're peaceful and you have a gun pointed at our face and a woman yelled out, that's why you're peaceful. Was that you, Jamie, or somebody else?
No, that wasn't me, but I wish that would have been my line because it was great.
Well, it's a good line. It's a really good line.
The one thing, if you watch that whole video, they have a pretty good caption of the guy holding the rifle, and not once does it leave his slinged position.
Correct.
Facing the ground.
I never once saw it brandished in what would be construed as a threatening way, and so that seems like an exaggeration. So, do you believe that, I mean, you say that they're making all this up about you guys stalking them and threatening them in their homes. They're asking for people to send them cash. They want to get an Airbnb. They want somebody to donate a home to them. Do you think they're using this incident just to try to scam people?
Well, partly that. And, I mean, I kind of look at this and say, well, if someone's released all of your addresses, is it because they don't want you in their neighborhood?
But again, you're not saying that anybody has done that, are you?
No. I mean, they posted that our addresses have now been released. Like, people have our addresses. So that means someone's giving it out.
Well, or they're lying about it. And based on the video I saw of them that King 5 took, 90% of what came out of their mouth was complete fabrication. And I would say if this has legitimately happened to them, they've been threatened, then they should go to the authorities. But wait, they want to defund the authorities. So, you know, there's stuff between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you guys also make an interesting point that this group believes that they have the right, certainly, to go to. They've obtained, I've no doubt that it's Kshama Sawant who is giving out the addresses of her fellow council members, of Jenny Durkin, of Carmen Best. Where else are they getting it if it's not Sawant, who also unlocked City Hall for a mob event? So they believe that they can go to politicians and public officials' homes to try to influence their thought. But even if their accusation were true, they would say, what's good for you is not good for me. And that'd be a little bit of hypocrisy now, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Well, and I also love in their videos, they talk about how we block the roads and we're stopping people from getting down. Ultimately, I mean, they wanted to do the same thing. They wanted to put their cars on the road. They wanted to have people march down the road and stop traffic and stop egress in and out of the area. The double standard again.
I haven't seen the King 5 coverage you just referenced. Nicole just loaded it for me. So let me let my listeners hear that as well.
We literally wanted to go exercise our First Amendment right and ask the chief of police some questions.
Some of our protesters then exited cars to go see what's going on up there, and at which point they were met with neighbors who had rifles in their faces.
We tried to educate them and tell them it wasn't okay.
We are from Seattle. We represent part of Seattle. So if you want to stick up for the people in that neighborhood, then go work for that county or whatever the case may be. Give up your position as chief of police of Seattle and go work there since you're sticking up for them. You guys are coming out your house with AR-15s to confront a bunch of people in clothing, cotton, no protection, no nothing. So bullying, I would not say that. Holding you accountable is more like it.
We are not trying to just talk out and yell. We are truly here to have a conversation because the things happening in Seattle right now cannot keep happening.
Okay, that is from King 5. It's at king5.com, all of that audio. So, again, they'd say that your neighbor had a gun pointed in their face, and the video does not support that, and you're telling me that never happened, Whit?
I'm telling you, to my knowledge, it never happened. And, you know, all I can see out of that is the video that they posted. I wasn't down there standing when that happened. I was at my house watching the road out front. So I can't comment completely on that one.
We've been told that's not what happened, and we've also seen the videos that they were filming when they were down there, and if guns were in their faces, they didn't manage to get any of it on video.
Yeah, I would think that would be pretty damning, because if you brandish a gun in a threatening manner, then you can get in trouble for that. I would think if they had video of that, they would have posted video of that. One last thing. They say that Carmen Best gave the okay that her neighbors can use guns on us. Did Carmen Best in any way direct you two and your neighbors to brandish guns when the protesters came?
No, absolutely not. No.
Her one and only comment to the neighborhood was, please be vigilant, please pay attention, please make sure you're calling 911.
Which you did. The sheriffs responded as soon as they could, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, so you are suggesting, if I can just kind of sum this up, that they are exploiting the situation for personal financial gain. I will try to get these young women on the show and hear their side of the story as well. I'm glad both of you were able to come on with me this afternoon on short notice and give your side. We'll keep trying to get to the bottom of this, okay?
Absolutely. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Whit and Jamie Rulestone, a Dory Monson Show exclusive for you there. That is live. That is breaking. And that is our big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
What do you think? You going to send money to the protesters who went to Carmen Best's home so they can get an Airbnb? Or are you going to donate a house to them? They've asked for either or both. What are you going to do? You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm getting lots of feedback from the interview that we just did with the neighbors of Carmen Best. Two of the people who tried to go to Carmen Best's house Saturday night, a big group of protesters. They were turned away by neighbors with guns. Here's my fear for these neighbors, because we have such radical politics around here. Bob Ferguson, our attorney general, is every day increasingly, you know, acting and sounding like just an unhinged leftist. And justice is supposed to be blind. And when you have a radical partisan in the attorney general's office, it really is frightening. If you don't think like Bob Ferguson, the state can use the most powerful legal office to come after and try to destroy you. And so these are really scary times. So here's what I'm fearful of for this couple in Snohomish, or all these neighbors. You no doubt have seen the video of the couple in St. Louis. And this was an even better situation for the couple in St. Louis, because they truly were in a private gated community. And the mob there came and broke down the gate and started walking through the neighborhood, many of them shouting threats at the couple. And the couple, they were just eating dinner in this home. It's a home that they've lived in. It's a beautiful house. It's a home they've lived in for 30 years. They've done extensive remodeling and renovations, and they just love their home. And given the history of these mobs in Seattle, they've, you know, written graffiti and messages in pen and Sharpie on the homes of Seattle council members who weren't radical enough. In St. Louis, that couple legitimately feared. So he came out brandishing a rifle, or holding a rifle. His wife came out with a handgun. And the radical prosecutor in St. Louis, who is in her office because George Soros funded her campaign, she has been threatening to file charges against the couple defending their home in a private gated community where the gate had been broken down. My fear for the people that I just talked to and their neighbors is that the mob is going to try to pressure the politicians and the prosecutors to go after people just defending their home and their neighborhood. And again, this is all by design. When you want to defund the police, the citizens are going to be forced to be their first line of defense. And we have seen record gun sales in the last 6 months. I mean, just flying as fast as the gun shops can sell them. They're out of ammo at a lot of these stores because it's all been gobbled up, because citizens know they have to be their first line of defense if you defund cops. And what is being hoped for by the agitators, by the Marxists? They want bloodshed in the streets because they are pushing for a descent into total destruction of our region. And like I said at the beginning of the show, Seattle's disease quickly becomes the region's pandemic. All of Western Washington is suffering from the insanity that's taking place in Seattle. And so a story that you have not heard anyplace else that we led the show with today, the government-funded King County Public Defenders have sent a letter to King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg, and they are demanding that all drug crimes not be prosecuted in King County. Now, right now, the prosecutor has legalized personal possession amounts of drugs. But now we're talking about drug dealers. If the government-funded, which means your tax dollar-funded Public Defenders Association, I have the letter posted on my Twitter, at Dory Monson. If this government office gets its way, drug dealers would be immune from prosecution in King County. And I know that that sounds so crazy and so radical and so impossible that it's hard to believe. That's why I've posted the letter that they sent, because the impossible is becoming reality around here. The other thing in this letter, if a criminal has an illegal gun and they are pulled over in a traffic stop, the gun would be immune, or their possession of a gun illegally would be immune from prosecution, because they contend that traffic stops are racist. And so if you find a gun, and if it's a black or Latino driver, but they can't just make immune black and Latino drivers. So now they're just saying everybody with an illegal gun discovered in a traffic stop, they cannot prosecute the gun crime. The radical left, which is always talking about, we need more gun laws, are pushing to make it impossible to take guns away, illegal guns away from criminals. The impossible is happening around here right now with the insanity of caving in to the radicals. So check out that letter. You will not believe your eyes when you see it, although you can just take my word on it, because I just gave you a perfect summary of that letter. So my fear is that we're going to have some grandstanding. Mark my words. Sean, mark this tape. I'm going to play it back as soon as this comes to fruition in the next couple of days.
Marked.
2:41 on Tuesday. Mark my words. Some grandstanding politicians, and certainly the grandstanding protesters / rioters / domestic terrorists, they're going to demand prosecution of these families defending their neighbor and their neighborhood up in Snohomish County. If it happened to that couple in St. Louis on a private road, then on a public road up in Snohomish County, the grandstanding will commence in 3, 2, 1. And I'll play you back this clip from today's show when it happens in the next day or two. All right, lots more straight ahead. Our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio. Coming up here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. My goodness gracious. All right, it's that time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, I got to play this one more time. This is what happened at Carmen Best's house. We just got the audio today. Between the protesters and the neighbors, just because when they were complaining about the neighbors defending their neighborhood with guns. The woman who shouts back at the protesters. I just find this to be a very good line.
It's a private drive. Get out of the road.
You point to the gun.
Peacefully assemble in somebody else's neighborhood.
You point to the gun at my face. That's why you're peaceful.
We are peaceful. You pointed a loaded gun at my face. That's why you're peaceful. Again, there's no visual evidence of them pointing a gun at anybody's face. The neighbor says, when they accuse him of that, they say, I haven't pointed a gun at anybody. There's no evidence to back up what the protesters are claiming there. At number two, tell me, do you find this a little bit scary? I don't like it when people tell me I have to do something, there is no choice. Now, whenever we get a coronavirus vaccine, I'll probably get vaccinated. I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any means. I get a flu shot every year. I'm a little concerned about how they're rushing this through. But when politicians, when corporations, when the richest, most powerful people in the world tell me I have no choice but to get the vaccine, makes me a little nervous. Listen to Bill Gates here.
But you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice. People don't feel like going to the stadium when they might get infected. You know, it's not the government who's saying, okay, just ignore this disease. And, you know, people are deeply affected by seeing these deaths, by knowing they could be part of the transmission chain, and, you know, old people, their parents, their grandparents could be affected by this. And so you don't, you know, you don't get to say, ignore what's going on here. There will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. And
that feeds these conspiracy theories that are out there that, you know, Bill Gates is behind all of this and Bill Gates is going to make billions on the vaccine. But when Bill Gates says you have no choice but to get the global population vaccinated, I'd be curious if that makes you more wary. For me, it does. Because my inclination is, yeah, I'll get vaccinated. But when Bill Gates says I have no choice but to get vaccinated, my initial instinct is when people who have so much power tell me I must do something, it's been a pretty good strategy in my life to not always follow along with what I'm ordered to do. I'm getting texts about that already. 360, don't become an anti-vaxxer, Dory. I'm not. I just said. I get a flu shot. Our kids, they all had the, you know, all their shots. It's like a dog. Does he have his shots? You know, we did that cervical cancer thing with our daughters and all that. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just don't like being told that me and the entire world must do it. And then at number one, President Trump this morning announced a historic investment, biggest since Teddy Roosevelt, in our national parks. I love our national parks. I support this. But he really should learn how to say Yosemite.
We want every American child to have access to pristine outdoor spaces. When young Americans experience the breathtaking beauty of the Grand Canyon, when their eyes widen in amazement as Old Faithful bursts into the sky, when they gaze upon Yosemite's towering sequoias.
Yosemite! Say he's an anti-Semite. He uses coded language to call out, Yosemite! And then he said, Yosemite's? Not good, Mr. President. All of that is our awesome audio of the day. And that's it for me. This show flew by today. We had a lot of good stuff. Check out the podcast if you missed any of it at mynorthwest.com. Tom and Curly are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hello.
Wow, that was intense.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.